Well, subsidies for grain, that's fast becoming the last remaining option for many cattle producers who are at risk of losing their core breeders in the worst affected areas of the state. Many producers have sold most of their herd already, except for the breeders. Some farmers say there's only one solution to saving them, and that is grain subsidies. Our reporter Mike Pritchard spoke to some farmers, also some politicians, while he was in the Upper Hunter.
I think we've got to stop calling this a drought and say it's an absolute catastrophe and an absolute crisis. The only way that we can keep these cows alive if it doesn't rain in the next few weeks is with grain. That grain will have to be subsidised to keep the cost down. Otherwise, we'll just have to sell the cattle or give them away.
Upper Hunter cattle producer Ian McCallum is claiming the dry conditions are pushing grain prices up, with the average farmer now needing to pay tens of thousands of dollars per month to keep up stock levels. He says many recent donations or subsidies to farmers have been on hay, which simply isn't enough alone to put condition on the cattle. He's calling for a 50% subsidy on grain.
If it doesn't rain here in the next month or 6 weeks and we go into a really tough winter, I can see 90% of the cows disappearing out of this district. The only way that we can keep many of these cows alive is on grain.
What would be appreciated as far as the amount of subsidy required here?
I'd say at least a 50% subsidy on grain landed on farm. I think the general public should be getting worried now about their food supply and the rundown in the cattle herd.
Grain's the key ingredient here of keeping the stock alive, because there are opportunities now to get a little bit more hay than what you had before.
I always maintain that hay is an essential part of the ration, but it's not the be-all and end-all. You must have a grain to increase the quality of that feed, and that's the only way that you can keep them going properly.
So you've got a message, obviously, here to the state government. We've got an election coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
I would say that you want to take the stress out of many producers' lives in finding a viable solution to maintaining their herds, would do that instantly.
Support for the subsidy has come from the National Party member for the Upper Hunter, Michael Johnson.
It makes sense that grain is one of the best things to be able to feed the core breeding stock, because it's a high nutrient, high protein, high value feed with grain. You know, I think it's something that the government would consider, and if we are fortunate enough to have the confidence of the public and get back into government, then it is something that, one, I will push for, and two, that the government will consider as part of their overall drought funding package.
Farmers are saying we're in a catastrophic situation now with the drought, and this is the only way they can keep their core breeding stock alive. For some, it may be too late. So would you push for a 50% grain subsidy?
Yeah, I'll push for anything we possibly can get in order to assist farmers. But one of the other things too that I also want to mention is that you've got two aspects to the grain. One is the grain available, and where can we get it from? Do we have to get it from another part of Australia, or do we have to import it from overseas, and what's the cost and what is the availability of it? So they're the practical things that you need to think of, even though I totally agree that grain is one of the best things to be able to feed cattle. Let's not forget also that within the package there are assistance measures out there to have eggs frozen. So if farmers have got their core breeding stock that they've built up over generations of stock, then we can freeze those eggs and actually have them in storage until things get better. And you can transplant those eggs back into any cow and have those genetics and continue on those lines. It may not be the ideal situation, but hey, it's the drought situation that we're in is not ideal either.
Federal New England MP Barnaby Joyce has defended the level of drought support delivered by his government, suggesting grain subsidies is a state matter.
Well, I have cousin up at Moonan Flats, and so I'm very aware of what's going on there, and this will be a dire winter. Everybody's bank balance is pretty low or gone, and because everyone knocks the cotton industry, but because we don't have any of that evil cotton this year, we'll have no cotton seed, which is the highest protein component of the cattle feed that comes in here, and it also contains roughage. Incredibly important that people understand the metabolic requirement of cattle, and they require protein, they require roughage, and you got to know what you're buying to keep them alive. Likewise, lucerne's at a premium, absolute premium, because we just lack the water to do this.
50% subsidy.
The deal has always been this. The federal government looks after the people and the state government looks after the animals. That's a very rough rule of thumb.
That's Barnaby Joyce speaking there to Mike Pritchard. You're listening to The Country Hour, 20 minutes past 12. Well, meanwhile, Tamworth cattle producer Warwick Hooper told Lara Webster that a grain subsidy for him would be too little, too late. He grows his own grain to fatten his cattle, but his silos are now empty, and he's decided the best course of action is probably to sell all of his remaining stock.
Well, I grow grain crops. I grow barley crops every year. I didn't grow one last year, but we're empty. Our silos are empty. We produce all our product, put it into our own storage system, and then we market it and we use it on our own property. But we've basically run out.
So you're unloading cattle. How many have you got left to go before your own property is empty?
Oh, about 250, and it'll be empty. And that's it. Gone. And, yeah, I'll go. I don't know what I'll do then. Probably have a holiday.
Where would you go for a holiday to, do you think?
I don't know. Somewhere where it's probably damp and cool.
Where it's raining.
Something like that, yeah.
What, then, are your options? You mentioned you'll change what you're farming. So what are the thoughts? I know you've got to get through the destocking first and then reevaluate, but what are you thinking of moving towards?
Oh, I'd become an opportunity cattle operator. There's always a drought somewhere in Australia, so you'd buy some cattle somewhere, you know, like in Queensland or, you know, South Australia or wherever, and then when you've got feed here, you bring them home, fatten them up, and do them in batches and sell them.
But you've got to wait for the rain and the feed. So how do you survive in the meantime?
You have deep pockets.
Are your pockets still deep?
Oh, you've got to reach into them a bit, but, you know, yeah, you just poke along.
You can laugh and have a joke. What's keeping you going? When you were in there at that sale with me and, you know, you can see it's tough. What keeps you keeping on?
Oh, I like the industry. Every day you hop out of bed, you look at the industry and you go, oh, yeah, what can I do today? And, that basically drives you. And I'm 60 years old. I turned 60 here a few days ago, and the human scrap heap looks really big, and I don't really want to go there, so I'll just keep poking along.
You mentioned off tape your family's property has been through a number of droughts in the past. Has it ever gotten to the point it is today?
No, actually, in we've got farming records that go back 130 years, and the current location we're on, we've been here 99 years now. 120 years ago, in what they called the O2 drought or whatever it was, basically our records are a bit sketchy back then, but from 1920 till now we've got extremely accurate business and rainfall records, and this is the toughest I've seen it. I can remember the 65 drought with a kid, with my dad running things, and the 82 drought, and the 94 drought, and the 02 drought. And, yeah, we've seen all these droughts before, but this one, something funny about this one. And, we've never actually destocked the property totally in 99 years, but it looks like it's going to happen.
What are the sentiments when you do think about it?
You're pretty sad about it, but that's today it's a business. So it's just got to be a business, and that's a business decision. You make that business decision, and you draw the line in the sand, and you stand behind it.
Well, fingers crossed you can go for that holiday soon.
Yeah, I'd like to. Yeah, I'm due for a bit of long service leave after 46 years in this business.